Did you go into a retail outlet somewhere in town this last week? The good probability that there was three things that you saw a lot of. Hearts, flowers, and candy. You might even have gotten some of that over the course of the week. But those are things that have come to mean in our society the idea of giving a token and a demonstration of our love. We come today on this day when in our congregation, our ladies' circle has a dinner that they give to you and give you an opportunity in giving back to them that they can share your love with others through their ministry. Give from the heart. I want to share with you today a passage of Scripture that is Luke's record of a parable. It's a well-known parable. Most of us know it probably better from Matthew's account of it in Matthew chapter 25 than what we read in Luke. It's a little different. And let me try to explain to you why it's different. It's not that Luke changed it. If you read it, you'll find that it's different enough. And you'll hear that when I read it to you and what's in it. I try to explain it this way. I've preached the same sermon in different places. And I generally will change it a little bit without changing the basic meaning of what's there. I might change the illustration. I might change the focal point. I understand that that's basically what Jesus has done in this location where Luke writes about it and the illustrations that are there. And yet you'll find that while in Luke it talks about a pound and in Matthew it talks about a talent, you'll find the principle of what's there is the same thing. So this is Luke's record where Jesus taught this lesson. I want you to go with me, please, to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to read verses 11 through 27 as our text, which is the context of this parable. It became pretty apparent to me that there were enough different things in this that I wasn't going to get all of it in this morning. So I'm going to cover one half of it, one side of it this morning. There's a record of some that did what they ought to have done. Then there was one who didn't do what he ought to have done. And I'm going to look at those two sides, one this morning and one tonight. So I invite your attention to this passage this morning from Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a foreign country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. Now, understand that you'll see the specifics of this in a little bit, but he gave each of those 10 1 pound. And said to them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said to him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, here is thy pound, which I've kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up where thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore that then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? He said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Now this reads Luke's record of the parable of the servants who were given money. You'll notice that in this particular passage, they were given a pound. And we'll talk about that value in just a moment. Well, what I want you to notice, first of all, before we get into the details of this parable, is to notice the location of it. Because I understand that it is in this location that its principal importance to us comes into focus. If you go back into the beginning of the book of the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, you'll find that there's another well-known passage of Scripture that is mentioned there. And in these verses at the beginning, Jesus meets a man named Zacchaeus. You remember his interaction with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man who was a tax collector. Zacchaeus was a man who was a very wealthy man. He was a widely known man in the community, though not very fondly known. Tax collectors were not exactly your most popular people in town. Some of his wealth came from misuse of his position. Tax collectors under the Roman system were given an amount of money they were responsible for paying to the emperor, to Caesar. But they were given privilege to get anything else they could get as their compensation. So in doing his job, there was a taking advantage that happened. Jesus came in to meet Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was converted into a walk of faith. And Zacchaeus said, Lord, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. I'm going to pay back 4 times to anybody that I have taken advantage of. And he was going to give away a significant portion of his wealth, both in charitable actions and in recompense for wrongs that he had done. But I want you to notice in verses 9 and 10, this experience, Jesus doesn't talk about it in economic terms. There was a great change in Zacchaeus' life, but he doesn't mention the economics. He mentions the spiritual side of things. Jesus said unto them, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." You'll notice that the experience in the life of Zacchaeus is the experience of an individual who is the recipient of the grace of God. He was an outcast in town. He was a despised man. He was looked upon as a traitor to Israel because he worked with the Romans. And yet Jesus says, no, this man is a son of Abraham. Abraham, remember, is referred to not just as the father of the Jews, but the father of the faithful. Paul writes of him in the book of Romans as the father of the faithful. This man became a faithful man. He was a man of God's covenant. He was a man of God's grace. Here was a man who experienced the joy of knowing his deliverance from his sin. He turned away from the practice of that sin, of taking advantage of people. He restored in concern for those that he had wronged. He repented. Now, if you go then to the latter part of the chapter, you'll find that this is Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. He went in with a triumphant entry. He went in recognized as the King. And let me ask you to notice the words. Verse 38. I didn't print this up here, but in verse 38 of this chapter it says, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." There is a public recognition of the King, the Son of David. What I want you to see is between the experience of grace and the public revelation of the King, there is the behavior that is taught in the verses of our parable. God begins a work in our life. Paul writes in the Philippian letter, "I'm persuaded that he which hath begun a good work in you." It begins at a point. We're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But that grace becomes active in our life at a time when God works within us. And it changes our life. Someday the King is going to come back and we'll see Him return. But between now and then, what happens? And it's there today, between God's work of grace in our life and the return of Jesus Christ, that we find the instruction of these verses that we've read this morning, beginning at verse 11. Now, Jesus said, in verse 10, that this was a work of the experience of salvation. Jesus said He was come to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 11 tells us that the parable follows. Okay? And as they heard these things, there was a crowd around Him. There were publicans around Him. There were those who had been at Zacchaeus' house that was around him. There were disciples that was around him. But as they heard Jesus' statement, he added and spoke the parable because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They were waiting on Him to set up a kingdom. They were waiting. The disciples were waiting on being elevated in that kingdom. The Pharisees were waiting to be done with the Romans. Everybody was waiting on their idea of what the kingdom of God would be. But they wanted it right now. When Jesus was going to enter, they wanted to crown Him king. They wanted Him to set up a kingdom. They wanted it to be to their benefit. Jesus said, well, wait a minute, not quite so fast. It's going to be this way. And then He began to give them the record that we're given in these verses. Jesus described what was to happen in terms of something that all of those who heard Him would understand. A nobleman. A nobleman was a landowner. A nobleman was a man who was free. He was born free. He might own a lot of land. He might own a small amount of land. But it was a man who had had an inheritance in the land of Israel. You remember that God gave an inheritance to the tribes, and Israelites might lose that land due to debt for a period of time, but it would come back to them. It was not to be sold. It was not to be given away. It was God's inheritance. Folks, remember, and I don't have time to go into all the details about it, but keep in mind, when we think about the inheritance that Jesus has, you are Jesus' inheritance from the Father. You are what the Father has given unto Him. He has all of the wealth of heaven. He is God in His nature. But God the Father has given unto Him a people from before the foundation of the world, out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. And we are the inheritance of Jesus Christ. That nobleman was going to go away for a while. He called his servants. He didn't call everybody. He called his servants. And we're not given a great deal of description about them, but we're told there were 10 of them. 10 is usually used in a number of completion. This was the idea of something that would be given to the servants of the king. That's us, folks. We're all the servants of Jesus Christ. And He gave to those men each a pound. He gave 10 pounds to 10 servants. Now, the reason I know it's a pound, if you go into verse 16 and verse 18. If you look at the thing, I won't waste time trying to find it. But if you go into verse 16 and verse 18, you'll find there that the man who got the first one and the second one, each of them said, "Thy pound hath gotten something." He didn't get 10 pounds. Now, if you remember Matthew, in Matthew's record of it, the same principle is talked about. But one was given 5 talents, and one was given 2 talents, and one was given 1 talent. Here, all of them were given a pound. God was gracious, or the nobleman was gracious. He was gracious to all His servants alike. Isn't it true today, folks, that God is gracious to us? He's gracious to us in the hope of salvation. But He's gracious to us in the reality that all that we need is given to us in this life. You remember that in Matthew chapter 6, we're told to consider the lilies. They neither toil nor reap. But Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these. God cares for the flowers. Not a sparrow falls that the Lord doesn't see it. God cares for the birds. If you're bought in the blood of Jesus Christ, are you not of more value than they?
And He'll provide for you. Paul said it in the Corinthian letter. He said that God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." It's sufficient to live by. It's sufficient to die by. It's sufficient to be forgiven in. It's sufficient to be carried home to glory. But it's sufficient to know that He will provide what we need step by step and day by day in our life, all of us alike. They were given a pound. Now, my understanding of a pound, it's described in several different ways. But according to writers that I've read, this particular word that's used is a pound in the Hebrew understanding, not a pound sterling like the English use, but it's a value that would change. The monetary value would change whether it was measured in gold or whether it was measured in silver. But generally, it was the value of 100 pence. A pence was one day's pay. They were given 100 days' salary. Think about it. For a nation in which there was considerable poverty, to get a 3-month advance on your salary and have all of it in your hands at one time would be a phenomenal thing. Especially if you were a servant, no less. And the nobleman had given them a pound all at once. 100 days' salary all at one time. And he left. And he told them, he said, "Now you occupy. You be here. You be faithful. You take care of things till I return." He went away to receive a kingdom. When he went away, there were those that sent him a letter. There were those that hated him. "We don't want this man to rule over us. We don't want you to rule over us. We don't want your reign." Sounds like the way many of us talk about our leaders, doesn't it? They get elected. And we have one right now that many people have said this about. He's not the first one. There have been others that have had the same thing. "We don't want this man to be president. We don't want this man to be governor. We don't want this man to be the one over us." Not anything new in the 21st century. There were those who had been cared for by the nobleman. There were those that had been provided for by the nobleman. "But we don't want you." But there were faithful servants. You see, the issue of the world around us is not the real issue. The issue is, are we being found faithful, occupying what and where Jesus has given us? "Occupy till I come." They were to stay and to be faithful in doing. Now, when the nobleman came back, there was a day of reckoning. He had received the kingdom. He didn't come back as a nobleman. He came back as the king. When Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to come back King of kings and Lord of lords. But He's not going to just become king when He comes back. He's already king. And we live before Him today. We occupy in the service of the One who is King. And He comes day by day. There will come a day at the end of time when there will be an accounting. But I'm going to tell you that our King comes looking to us every day of our lives for how we're handling the blessings that He gives us. And it's at that level that I want us to focus for the rest of our time here this morning. You see, here was one man who came to Him. And there were 10 servants, but we're only told about 3. But the 2 ideas are there. You were either faithful or you were not. There was one that came and said, "Sir, you gave me a pound. Your pound is now worth 11 pounds. Here's the pound that you gave me, and I've gotten 10 pounds. Now you think about that a minute. If a pound is 100 days labor, now that pound had been invested, that pound had been used, that pound had been worked with until it was now worth 1,100 days salary. That 3 months salary was now worth over a year's salary. There was another one that came and said, your pound has gotten 5. So he now had 6 months salary. But the key issue is, it was still thy pound. He didn't say, my pound got this. It belonged to the nobleman. The riches that were placed in the servant's hand remained the property of the nobleman. And all that was gained by the use of that remained the property of the nobleman. Well, that wasn't fair. Oh, yes, it was, because the nobleman was the one that took care of him. But what I want you to see is, folks, God gives us gracious gifts. But God gives us gracious gifts that we use them in a way that adds to His glory, to His kingdom, to His service. He doesn't give us money so we can get rich and put it in our pockets and brag about all that we've done. When it was all said and done, it was, sir, thy pound. And you see, folks, when we've done everything we can do, and when we use all the blessings that God would give us, and we're able to feed our family, and we're able to increase the value of what He gives us, it's not just so we can pad our pockets. It's to be used in the glory. He gives it to us to use in our life. But as we gain with it, it is to be gained to the glory of the nobleman. It is to be to the gain of the glory of the King. It's not about the servant. It's about the King. And you see, brothers and sisters, as we work in our lives, there's not anything wrong with having money. Where does it come from? Let me give you one other verse. And I didn't put this in here either. But if you go back to 1 Chronicles, and you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, this is part of David's last prayer. Okay? Verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth, that includes the pound that He puts in our hand. All that is in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And then this verse, verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power and might, and it is in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. There's a philosophy in the world today that it's wrong to have money. Period. It's bad. Where does it come from? It's God that gives riches to us when we have them. What we do with them is another matter. But the blessings that we have are still God's into our hands.
Don't belittle what God's placed in your care. The question is, what's my heart willing to do with it? I'll talk more tonight about the one that put it in a napkin. His heart was not willing to serve the king. Well, I'll give him back what belongs to him, but I ain't going to do anything for him. He had an unwilling heart. We have a give from the heart banquet. The real issue is my heart willing to do what my king expects me to do? When he provides in my life, are those provisions given to his glory? Do I use them wisely? Do I occupy? Do I handle? Do I hold on to? Do I manage? You know, that's really a steward, isn't it? The Bible refers in another place in Luke to a steward. It's one who manages what belongs to someone else. Everything we have, folks. Everything in heaven and everything in earth belongs to the Lord. He created. He puts it in our hands. And He tells us to use it till He comes back. Now, grace in your life is His sovereign work. When you were an utter outcast, like Zacchaeus was, He came to you and He said, "Zacchaeus, today I'm going to your house. I'm coming into your life." He didn't ask Zacchaeus, He told him. Grace is a sovereign work. The return of Jesus Christ is His work. No man knoweth the day or hour. I hear people say, "Oh, we can hasten the return of Jesus Christ if we do this. We can make Him come back sooner." You can't do no such thing. He'll come back when God the Father is ready for Him, has set that day. And He'll come back exactly on that day. You can't make it happen any earlier, and you can't make it delayed any. But between the work of grace and the coming of Christ, the issue is, folks, what are we doing with the pound that He places in our hand? What am I doing with my salary? "Well, I ain't got a job." Yes, you do. Your job is to serve the Lord. You began with a walk of faith. You began with a conversion. You began with a profession of faith and a step of baptism. You began with obedience. You began by simply occupying till He returns. One was given the authority over 10 cities. One was given an authority over 5 cities. But isn't it interesting that in that statement, Jesus didn't boast any more about the man who got 10 pounds than he did about the man who got 5. Both were seen as good servants. They had been faithful over a little. They were given responsibility over a lot. As we occupy and hold our blessings and use them for God's glory, the responsibility increases for what He does next. He take away what the man didn't use and give it to the guy that had 10. "Oh, but he's already got 10. Yeah. He knows how to use it. You see, God give. Listen, we can lose blessings, and I'll talk about that tonight. But the fact of the matter is, when we obey, when we use, to him that hath, it shall be given. We don't do it just to get. But we work with the assurance that God is conscious of what we're doing. We serve with the assurance that ours are blessings that are given back to God. His graciousness to us is being used in our lives to glorify Him till He comes back. Can that statement be made of us? Are we one that has gotten 10 pounds? Are we one that's gotten 5 pounds?
Are we one that has used the Master's blessing to the increase of His glory? Or are we slothful like the one who simply wrapped it up in a napkin, stuck it in his pocket, and waited till the Lord came back? Here, I didn't cost you anything. Didn't gain you anything, but it didn't cost you anything. Sometimes we look at God that way, don't we? Well, I'm not costing Him anything. That's not what He asks. He asks that we use what He gives us to the increase of His glory. I can't make Him any richer. He already owns all of it anyway. You think about that in light of what the other fellow said. Well, I knew that you were an austere. You took from where you did. He didn't have to sow it. It was already His. It's already His. We can't make Him any richer. But we can use it in such a way as to say, see what my Master gave me? This all belongs to Him because He's a gracious Lord. May we be found faithful. That others would look at us and say, they're working for the Lord. And that we would be conscious to say, Lord, everything I've got, You gave me. It's all Yours. May the Lord bless us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.